This podcast is produced by energeticcity.ca, your only local and independent news in Northeast BC. To support local news and this podcast, go to energeticcity.ca/join to find out more.
Welcome to the podcast Secrets of the North, a podcast about true crime and mysteries in Northern Canada. We are recording on the traditional and unceded territory of the Dene Zaz people. I'm your host, Emily Gallen.
And I'm your co-host, Janelle Lapuszynski. Our podcast may contain mature content. Listener discretion is advised.
I've got such a boner now that I'm here back in the studio with my homies. Dude, hi.
Hey, welcome back.
Hello. So funny listening to Greg.
Yeah.
Loved it. Love you, Greg.
Yeah.
So I'm listening and he says that he doesn't like scary stories.
No.
Poor dude.
I know. Poor dude. That's why I was like, I can't take him to Spookville. That's why I took it light, brought him for little murder.
Can you imagine, like, as your job, having to edit
us?
Oh, poor guy.
I know. I feel really bad for him. And this one, Greg, I'm sorry, buddy.
Yeah, Greg.
You're going to be spooked.
I mean, you can't plug your ears because then you won't edit it very well for us.
But
so,
like, an enormous thanks
for
him doing that with me. It was a lot of fun. Honestly, I really enjoyed having that time with Greg. It was, it was a fun little mix-up. It was super fun getting to say your part of the intro.
Oh, that just tickled your pickle, didn't it?
It did.
It was funny. It was funny. I was like, how are they going to spin this? Are they just going to pretend to be me? Like, I almost wish you didn't even like address the fact that it was Greg. You could have gone in there and Greg just should have been like, and I'm Emily Gallen,
and
touch my butt.
Yeah,
speaking of body parts, I do like butts.
Why were you away?
First of all, you didn't say hello to my fresh new titties, Janelle.
Hi one, hi two.
Sup. Recovery phase. Dave, maybe 15, 16. Yeah, I got boobies. Reconstructed.
Yeah. She didn't have them before.
They look amazing. And then I went to Arizona before that. And that was sick. I loved it.
Yeah, Arizona's amazing.
So what I did in Arizona is every location that me and my husband went to, I found a podcast like that covered a crime in that area.
Cool.
And then I made us listen to it. So many good ones. Small Town Murders.
I was gonna say Small Town Murder probably did a couple because they lived in Phoenix for a very long time, so they've done a couple in Arizona.
They're so funny.
I know. Jimmy and James have such a special place in my heart. Actually, Small Town Murder was like
the first special place in my butt.
Yeah, they were the first true crime podcast I ever actually like really got into. A good friend of mine that I worked with at Lush named Riley introduced them to me.
Shout out Riley.
Yeah, I love her to bits.
Shout out Lush.
She's a sweet, sweet little teacher gal. And shout out Lush for bringing so many amazing people into my life. I have so many lifelong friends because of that job. I just can't even.
Respect.
But boobas.
Boobies.
So exciting. Boobies, small town. I love that.
Yeah, I want to go back to Arizona and not commit crime or anything. But maybe I'll have a crime solving job or something and then I could go work in Arizona.
That'd be crazy.
I'm sure they are. I must have prisons around there. Yeah.
There's one in Fort something in Arizona. This is a horrible story, but when I was in Arizona, I actually got to go to this old abandoned outdoor prison, and I did a walkthrough with my mom, and like the spaces where the prisoners were kept, it was like outside, and it was just like a gate and outside. Like in your little cell door was just like the bars of your cell, and this like went directly outdoors because you know you're in the desert.
No one can see my face, but I'm just looking at you like, gone.
Yeah, I wish I remembered what it was called, but it.
We went to a town called Jerome.
Okay,
and it was a ghost town.
Oh,
it was called the the scariest, wildest town in the West, like in the world, like. Back in the Wild West days, like people would just be like, on the streets, just like
crazy. So the actual Wild West.
Yeah, I booked us a ghost tour, and I was thinking, you know, they're gonna take us around, tell us about all these ghosts, amazing history, etc. We get there, and they start handing out equipment, and I realize that we're going ghost hunting. It was really cool. My husband is definitely, he was like, but he was a good sport. And he's like, oh, I'm going to go for it. Like, he just did it with me. And yeah, I mean, we had like a spirit box, and then we had an
EMF.
Yeah. Thank you. An EMF reader. And it was kind of weird because someone did kind of come through, and then we did use the EMF, and then it did light up. And like, whatever. I don't know. Anyways, it was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, Spirit Box is probably my favorite tool to use for investigating. I've gotten so many really cool things off of Spirit Boxes. Sometimes it's hard because, like, for those of you who don't know what a Spirit Box is, it's a radio frequency that runs through stations in reverse. And basically, it gives an electronic output so that, in theory, spirits can use that to then manipulate the words into them speaking.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But when you're just listening to it, it's just flipping through radio extremely quickly in reverse. So you'll never actually hear true words, but that's why sometimes you do just hear like glimpses of like a song or like a beat, and you're like, that was weird. But you know it's just the frequencies running through. So then when you hear true words
that's
come
what
through,
they said.
You know that it's actually them trying to communicate.
And well, I don't know what it was, but there was a dude that said like Robert. Mm. And then she was like, hey, did anyone in the group get anything, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, like this, so I heard the same voice twice and said his name was Robert. And then she's like, oh, like Robbie. Yeah.
Yeah. Rob
that
comes through.
He fucking hangs out.
That's awesome. It's funny that like haunted places will just have those ghosts. It's like, yep, they're just always here.
Well, they took us to the remains of the old like hospital.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and they have, I didn't even stay in this hotel because I didn't know about it, which pisses me off. But the Jerome Grand, I think, hotel is extremely haunted. And the restaurant's called The Asylum.
Okay.
Which is pretty freaky. That's and it used a cool to name. Be like a hospital and an asylum and
oh, wow.
all those things back in the day. And so they have very active ghosts there, and not nice ones.
No, probably bad pretty ones. Aggressive, hey?
Yeah, where people would leave in the middle of the night because paralysis onto the bed, like just like in like some like mm-hmm. scary stuff. Not fun.
No, paralysis, sleep paralysis is very terrifying.
I hate it. But yeah, that's all my updates, Janelle. This week for Missing Persons Corner, I'm just gonna go straight into Crime Corner because today's topic is all about what to do when people go missing. And it's obviously very poignant at this time with all the missing people that we have in our area. So definitely thought it would be a good time to highlight it for the homies.
I love it.
Janelle, how many people do you think are missing in Canada right now?
Gosh.
Give me a guess at poo-poo.
Maybe like 1,500?
Currently in Canada, there are more than 2,500 missing adults and children based on Canadian RCMP databases. Although those numbers, they've been said to be far too low to be accurate.
Okay.
I don't believe there's a great system in place for tracking all of this information, which is, you know, pretty common in the world.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track of people.
Yeah, no one knows what happens with that data, but it everywhere. According to Irwin et al., the raw number of missing people cases where foul play was suspected has actually increased each decade from the 1950s to the 2000s, which is no bueno.
No, it's so funny because I always hear, like, I always find I'm hearing such contradictory stats sometimes. I always hear, like, oh, the 60s and 80s were so much more dangerous and there was so much more crime than there is today. And I'm like, was there?
Yeah.
Was there really? And I know people sometimes think, oh, well, there's only so much more now because we're hearing about it now. And it's like, no, it was always happening. But you're right. The information's at our fingertips. So I think we may hear about it more.
It's so
But is
wild.
It actually getting worse or is it just being reported on more? Like, I'm always so curious with that one.
Well, I'm going to lay out some facts for you.
I'm ready.
According to Canada's Missing, 57% of missing adult reports in 2022 involved males. Not surprising.
No.
Typically more males go missing. 64% of adults who wandered off in 2022 were males. What does that mean? I'm a wanderer.
Yeah, I think wandering off is a hard one because I think you had even said like it could be dementia wander off, so they're really real. But one that I is always on the forefront of my mind is a man named Ryan Shutka or Shtuka.
He
was around 20 years old and he went missing from Sun Peaks, BC. Mm-hmm. But he's from very close to my hometown in Beaumont.
Okay,
and he was at a party. All of his friends and him were leaving together. They walked a bit in front of him and they turned around and he was gone. And he has never been seen. And that was in 2018.
Yeah. And that family goes there all the time.
They are very active for searching. There are tons of pages for Ryan. Hashtag find Ryan Stuka is quite a popular hashtag. Like, it was horrific. Yeah.
Can you imagine? But that's it. It's a wander, right?
You're intoxicated. It's dark. You're in the bush.
Yeah, there are some bush around the area.
So I think that he must have, maybe he even just pulled over for a leak.
Yeah. You know?
Like, I got pee. I'm drunk. I'm just going to zip into these trees.
Yeah.
Oh, my friends aren't here anymore.
And then turn around, go the other way.
And then you just get misplaced. Yeah. And it happens way too fast.
Don't love it. 34% of missing adult reports in 2022 were removed within 24 hours, while 73% were removed within a week. So that's pretty good. So they're showing there's people going missing or being reported missing, but then
being found, which is nice.
Yes. Well, it's ideal.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
It's not ideal. Not bad. For sure.
In 2022, British Columbia had the highest number of missing adult reports per capita, with 273 reports per 100,000 people. Followed by Saskatchewan with 146 reports per 100,000 people. Prince Edward Island had the lowest with 8 reports per 100,000 people.
All of the 30 people who live in PEI.
God bless PEI. I mean, it's got to be hard to get off.
Oh, I love that Red Rock, man. I adore PEI. Where my family's from is really close to the bridge that connects New Brunswick to PEI. So love that bridge.
My Nana, as I call her, is from PEI. Oh. And I loved Anna Green Gables.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Anna Green Gables is a huge part of my childhood. That double VHS.
Oh, respect.
Yeah. Actually,
to the W.
I lost my entire Anna Green Gables book collection in my first apartment because I had bed bugs. And bed bugs like to live in books.
Rude. Fuck bed bugs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, regarding youth, 55% of all missing children and youth reports in 2022 involved females. So it's a little bit different than the adults. We're seeing more males. And then this is saying that 55% in 2022 were females. 75% of all missing children and youth in 2022 were identified as runaways, 55% of whom were female. And Ontario had the highest number of children and youth runaways. 32 missing children and youth were attributed to human trafficking, which is gross.
Yikes.
And 30 of those were attributed to Ontario. So I don't know why we would be seeing maybe more human trafficking in Ontario versus BC.
I mean, the majority of Canada's population does live in the southern part of Ontario.
Oh, okay.
So I think that may have a huge part of it. Like, the most densely portion of our entire country is in the Toronto greater area, southern, like, Ontario. I actually was watching a weird thing about how the majority of Canadians actually live below the, like, 43rd or 49th line. That's like the separation of Canada and the US.
And then the majority 20 people live in northern British Columbia. So Janelle, how long do you think you actually have to wait before reporting someone missing in Canada?
In Canada, it's a great question because I'm not too sure. All the podcasts that I listen to are always from the States. So I can give you the info that I hear most often. It has to be a full 24 hours for a child, 48 hours for an adult. Children most of the time are deemed as runaways. Even when the parents advocate saying they would not have done this, they're almost always just, oh, well, they're 15. It was a runaway. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's just kind of slushed off. So that is what I know of missing persons. And that is the extent of my knowledge.
Okay. Well, this is going to give you a boner because in Canada, from what I've read online, there's actually no waiting time.
Oh?
It says the RCMP have stated online that you don't even need to be a relative. You can just be a friend or even a coworker.
Wow.
Well, I wonder even if it's a wellness check, right? So if you're like a wellness check, you can do it anytime.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to wait. So that's amazing. According to CanadaMissing.ca, and I quote, a missing person is defined as anyone reported to police or by police as someone whose whereabouts are unknown, whatever the circumstances of their disappearance, and they are considered missing until located. And a missing person under the age of 18 is classified as a missing child. In the case of a missing child, they are considered missing if they are no longer in the care or control of their legal guardian and have not been removed by law, and they are considered missing until returned to appropriate care and control. That makes me think, you know, kids living in foster care residence, etc. Mm-hmm. So they're saying, you know, They're considered missing. Yeah. Well, and I mean, if you're not in the care of your parents, so if they've kind of ran away.
I was going to say, I have seen it as well where like one of the, let's say one of the parents, either the mother or father, don't have custody and they will kidnap basically their kids. Then those kids become legally missing, even though they're with somebody who's not their guardian.
That's true. Well, when you do report someone missing, Janelle, try and have this following information available. You're going to want their full name, their physical description, your height, weight, eye color, etc. Where they were last seen by someone specifically, like a concrete, this is the last time someone physically saw this person, or on CCTV.
Right,
camera,
I was going
to
say, yeah.
What they were last wearing and their cell phone number. Also, if they were driving a car, we want to know what kind of car they were driving and a recent picture of the person. I hate it when I see RCMP reports come out with mugshots of missing people.
Yeah.
Like, it really affects how the case is going to be perceived anyways.
I agree. One thing, too, that I also have a hard time with missing people's is seeing the photos that come out are just like a Snapchat filter. I'm like, this is not what this person looks like.
Yeah.
This is not actually telling me. I could have seen them and I wouldn't know.
To be honest, I think even recently I've seen some like that.
Yeah, I saw one for a woman who's missing in the East Coast, and her picture had like the bear ears and nose.
Oh, I saw like, that too. Yeah, I was like, who am I looking for?
I'm looking for a bear? Yeah, like that's like she has to have other pictures.
Yeah,
do a
very tiny amount of online sleuthing. Her Facebook profile photo is probably going to be better than that. Okay, go for it.
Yeah.
Well, the Native Women's Association of Canada was a great resource for me, and they gave an in-depth look into what one should do if someone goes missing, or someone you know goes missing. First, conduct a search and check all their known locations. Where do they usually like to go? Who do they hang out with? If they were upset, is there somewhere that they consistently go to? You know, in the movies, you always see someone gets upset and the other person drives to like the special spot in the lake, and that's where they'll be hanging out. Then you're going to maybe want to check with the people and those places as soon as possible. So phone around and then do your own checking. Second of all, you're going to prepare yourself to file that missing persons report. You will want to have that information I chatted about before ready for the officers, and write everything down. Keep track, right? The next one goes to say, ask your own questions, right? Like, if you need to know something, ask them. There's no stupid questions.
No.
Keep track of all your information. You know, they say grab a notebook, but I think electronically would probably be best, because it's easily to transfer to people. Yeah.
And just jot it down in your notes, right?
And I found a lot of apps online that can help do these things, and I'll talk about those soon.
Cool.
And then we want to get the attention our loved ones deserve. Reach out to our local news and post everywhere online, etc.
Yeah.
That's what everyone's been doing with the local cases we've been seeing here. And it really seems to work. But it's not just as easy as reporting someone to get the ball rolling. Sometimes people's cases aren't taken seriously. A missing person's history may play into how they're perceived by the public and even by law enforcement, which can hinder that investigation and that search. For example, if someone's loved one is known to go away for a few days or has run away before, it might not get taken as seriously. It's things like that that make us wait a little bit longer or not taken as seriously because, they've done it before.
It removes the urgency.
Yeah. Some apps that I found, though, that are going to help people if they are in this situation, one is called Lost Person Behavior, and search and rescue teams use this. It's great because you can use it without internet, which comes in handy in the north because you lose service in the wilderness and literally anywhere.
Yeah.
Fort Nelson, don't get me started. There's no cell service there. Another one is called MSCS Rescue, an app for missing children. It helps find missing children in Canada faster by enabling the public to be part of the search. Users of the app can view information on missing children in Canada, subscribe to receive SMS text alerts on new cases in their area, and submit tips on cases.
That's an interesting tool.
Mommy likey.
Mm-hmm.
Go Canvas is a great app that involves information gathering in forms that will be useful for the public or law enforcement. And I quote, "The Missing Persons Report app is used to keep track of all details about the disappearance and the people involved." So super important, because we got to keep track of, you know, not only the information about the individual, but who's at those searches. Like, where's all that name? That's all. There's so much data, so much raw data that's going to come in. When our loved ones are gone for many years, we might want to, unfortunately, check out websites such as The Unnamed. It's a victim database service, and it cross-references our loved ones with unclaimed remains. So, I mean, I hate the thought of a loved one actually having to do that. Sometimes I actually do just go online to that database, and I'll just search and I'll scroll and see if any of these unidentified, like Jane Doe's, John Doe's, if it sparks my memory and say, oh yeah, I heard a podcast case on this, or I remember this in the news and this sounds familiar.
Yeah.
I actually found a potential match. I submitted it to the website, Name Us, and they reached back out to me and they said that they hadn't even ever had that match before, and they will be taking it to their board to review it, which is cool.
That is super cool. Job, dude.
Canada's Nameless is one of the organizations whose website aims to connect those with lost loved ones. They noted that in Canada, there are approximately 245 sets of unidentified remains who have died without a name and with no one to bury them.
Wow.
Exposure is the key to solving many of these cases, yet Canadian cases rarely get the spotlight they need. Very true. Their project aims to raise awareness specifically on Canadian unidentified people and not let their faces and stories be forgotten. Another way that we can help identify Jane Doe's or John Doe's is by uploading our own DNA to GEDmatch. According to their website, GEDmatch is an online service to compare DNA data files from different testing companies. So I've actually uploaded mine. What I did was I went and got my DNA profile from Ancestry DNA. I've already had that, right? And I downloaded that raw data and uploaded it to GEDmatch. And then after that, what I did was I opted in to allow law enforcement to run, you know, criminal DNA against mine. So
yeah,
RIP to any future relatives of mine who commit crimes.
That's cool. That's really cool.
A lot of cold cases are being solved by this right now. It's awesome.
That is amazing.
Yeah. A lot of it has to do with the genealogy, because once they do get a hit, it might be, you know, 25% shared DNA. Then they're going to have to go use those genealogy skills to trace it back to that specific suspect. There are a few specialized routes people take as well, such as computer age progression when their loved one's been missing for many years. This helps the public to see what your loved one possibly looks like today. You know, they went missing at age 5, but what do they look like 10, 15 years later, right? Facial recognition, it's another tool that you can use for unidentified remains. According to canadasmissing.ca, facial approximation, often referred to as facial reconstruction, is a process based upon the recognition of the fact that there exists a predictable relationship between the skull and the overlaying soft tissues. This form of identification technique should be considered when other traditional methods such as fingerprints, DNA comparison, and dental records fail to identify a victim. This technique is used when the facial features of the unidentified deceased person are missing skeleton or severely damaged or decomposed beyond recognition. So then they reconstruct it. Very interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's been probably some cases that have been solved because of that.
I mean, I actually remember one that I've heard of from the States where a gal had her photo basically aged because she had been missing since she was like 9. Oh, geez. And it was aged, and a neighbor of theirs was like, that looks like the nanny across the way. And it came to find out that she had been like abducted and basically mentally convinced that she was this person's, and they had her working outside. She took the kids to school. Like she was brainwashed.
Yeah. Because
she didn't even believe that was her.
Oh, of course.
Like, and
well, why would
it was.
You? That's not your reality. To round off this episode though, I'm going to cover some missing person cases in our region. But first, a word from our sponsors. Okay, we're back. In 1974, a man by the name of William Murphy went missing from Dawson Creek, BC. Williams was seen for the last time around 3 a.m. on August 15th, 1974, at a farmhouse near Mile 30 on the Alaska Highway, where he had been employed for the last 2 days. Reports indicated that Williams displayed unusual behavior throughout the night. When the farmer awoke, approximately at 7:30 a.m., Williams was no longer present at the residence. Despite an extensive search of the property and its vicinity, there were no signs of him.
A wanderer.
I was going to say that sounds maybe like a wandering, maybe like a psychosis, mental health.
Or maybe they're just saying, oh, he was acting weird, he's acting strange, yes, as a cover up.
As a cover. Yes.
In 1981, now we have a gentleman named Gordon Duncan Westover who went missing from Fort St. John. So Gordon was last seen on June 12, 1981 in Fort St. John, British Columbia. Gordon was 25 at the time of his disappearance, and he was spotted at a local beer garden around 11 p.m. After leaving the gathering in an unknown direction, there have been no sightings, no communications from him since. Gordon, who possesses a mild mental disability, did have a history of impersonating professionals such as police, firefighters, military personnel, and doctors.
Gordon love sounds that. Like a hoot.
My
I kind of
that.
Guy I want to go out with for sure. That sounds hilarious.
No, yeah, I respect it. He's just your Fort St. John's catch me if you can guy. Well, he did inform several individuals at the party about his intention to join the military. There are no records indicating his recruitment. And his last known whereabouts date back to June 12th, 1981. So I gotta, first of all, I have to know what beer garden was rocking out in the 80s here. I mean, I'm guessing it must have been a rodeo.
I would assume a rodeo because I've heard that Fort St. John used to have a rodeo in town.
Okay. Well, Gordon's nephew reached out to me.
Hmm.
So what happened was I was getting tagged on a local Facebook thread. Someone was written out and said, hey, did you guys remember someone had gone missing back in the, I don't know if it was the 70s or 80s and from a beer garden. And I was like, that's my boy Gordon.
Yeah, I know
so
who that is.
I go on there and I was like, yeah, actually, no, this is who that person was. And then there's some other comments saying that Gordon's dad was a doctor in town. And I believe something happened with him as well. I can't remember, but so nephew reaches out and he's giving me some deets. It was his parents who were with Gordon the night that they went missing. So his parents were with Gordon, and so that would have been like either his mom or his dad's sibling. That's how it
and
works.
Uncles work.
That's
yep.
how. Oh, bless my silly little heart. So I found that fascinating.
That is really interesting.
They haven't heard anything since either. That's about as much information as we got out there, and that's what the nephew was saying as well. An hour away from us in Peace River, Alberta, was where an 18-year-old named Carolyn Purser next went missing in 1984. So we're going to cover her extensively at some point, but her vehicle at the time was found a few miles from her house, and the RCMP says they do suspect foul play.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So that'll be interesting to cover Carolyn's case as well. It is wrought with whodunit, pointing fingers. The local pages are conspiracy.
Interesting.
We're going to get in it.
Yeah. I look forward to learning more about her and what we can hopefully do.
Then on April 20th, 1988, 17-year-old Stacy Lynn Rogers was last seen leaving a friend's house in Fort St. John, according to the police. She has not been heard of since, and the RCMP recently put out a request for information. It turns out this was actually an old classmate of mine, aunt.
Aw.
Yeah. So I said, hey, if your mom ever wants to chat, we will do some digging,
yeah,
and some chatting and some telling and some sleuthing, and we'll solve it probably. Next, in 2004, a 24-year-old man named Corey Braun went missing after a Christmas party, also in Peace River, Alberta. He was last seen at the south entrance of Peace Valley Inn. A family member had actually told me once that search dogs had come and they did get a scent, but they lost it in the parking lot, which makes me think that he got into a vehicle. That was case number that was episode number 13. 2 years later, in 2006, Shirley Clethra went missing, and we also covered her case in a previous episode. She was 45 when she went missing after a house party in Fort St. John. Yet another case where I'll read comments online, not so subtly hinting that people have a suspect.
Ooh.
Trial by media, you know, has a huge effect. Then in 2008, a woman named Andrea Meese went missing, and that's M-E-I-S-E, in case I'm spelling it wrong. She went missing a few hours from Fort St. John in Grand Prairie. Someone did reach out to me on social media and asked me to add her case, Andrea Lucille Meese, to our list. She was born May 16th, 1978, and went missing in July of 2008. She was last seen in Grand Prairie, Alberta, and the last person known to be with her was her uncle Roy Woodhouse. 2010 brought for me a case that I truly remember, and that's Abigail Andrews, who went missing from Fort St. John. Abigail Andrews, who was last seen Wednesday, April 7th, 2010 in Fort St. John, was seen leaving her apartment on 99th Avenue and walking towards 94th Street. She informed her landlord's father-in-law that she was walking to a friend's house, and the friend lived on 98th Avenue. She had also shared the same information with her mother by phone at approximately 6 p.m. that Wednesday evening. She only had the clothes on her back and her purple guest bag, and she has not spoken with anyone or been seen since.
It's just terrifying.
This one we're going to deep into. This is one of those cases where people say, yes, we know who did it. We can't prove it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they can't find her.
I was going to say.
But the assumption on the streets, right, is that a specific person that is still out there living his best life.
So sad.
Yep. A lot of piss off.
That infuriates me.
And I believe that Abigail's mother actually has already passed on from cancer. So I really want to do this case to highlight it, to try and push, like,
I mean, it's only 14 years old.
Yeah, not always the families can have that energy. Like, they're just dealing with the trauma, mm-hmm. right? The tragedy. So sometimes it takes the community and other people to help highlight those cases and put some push even on RCMP or on news networks, etc.
Yeah.
Then we have a 16-year-old, Denny Poole, went missing in 2016. And according to Missing Children's Database, Denny was last seen around 7:30 p.m. on the south side of the Kiskatnaw River Bridge on Highway 97 between Dawson and Fort St. John. Denny was wearing a gray DGK sweatshirt, black jeans, Osiris brand skateboarding shoes, and carrying a black backpack. It is possible that Denny may have gotten into a vehicle with someone.
Is this the guy who was trying to walk with his friends? Yes. And they got separated?
Yes. Him and a friend were walking. They were going to be meeting a girl, I believe, that they were talking online with. The friend made it home. He didn't. So
never separate.
No.
And you are in a group. Stay in a group.
Buddy system.
Yeah.
And currently we have multiple missing people in our area that we've mentioned the last few episodes. So I'm going to touch on those. So currently we've got the two missing women from Dawson Creek, Darylyn Supernet and Renee Didier. They're both cousins, both missing from Dawson. Then we've got the two men missing from Dawson, Cole Hossick and David Domingo. So Darylyn went missing in March 2023 from Dawson Creek and was last seen on March 15th. She's described by the police as a 29-year-old woman, 5 feet and 9 inches tall, 119 pounds, with black hair and brown eyes. And I think it should be mentioned here that she's also Indigenous. Renee went missing on December 2nd, 2023, and was last seen at a gas station after spending the evening at a local bar called Lone Star. It's out of character for her to have gone so long without contacting friends or family, and everyone is still very concerned. I spoke on the phone with a close friend of hers, and he did let me know that they were conducting ground searches every day in Dawson Creek, and the RCMP were quickly to involve themselves and jump on this case. She is described as an Indigenous woman aged 41. In fact, she just turned 41 during the time she was missing. Her friend noted that this especially is unusual for her to miss a birthday celebration. She is 5'10 and weighs 120 pounds. Recently, she was actually seen on CTV footage at a gas station in Dawson Creek after leaving the bar. That gas station was called On the Run Convenience Store, or other people call it Chevron Gas Station. If anyone has dash cam photos, snaps, or drone footage from December 2nd in the area of Dawson Creek, please look at them. See if you notice anything different and let the police know. Even if you were just driving through the area, anywhere between, you know, Fort St. John, Pouce Coupe, or towards Alberta, check that footage and report it. Her file number is 23-8743. Next, we're going to get to Cole Hossick. I'm just going to read verbatim off of his missing Facebook page. His mother is such a champion for missing individuals now in the group, not even only her son, but others as well.
Yeah.
You can really tell
the passion behind her.
Yes. Oh, it's, yeah. In the RCMP's missing report, published on January 3rd, 2024, it first said that Hossick was last seen leaving the nightclub around 11 p.m. on December 31st, 2023. Then on January 17th, police issued an update stating that the last confirmed sighting was around 12:20 a.m. on January 1st, 2024. On that same day, January 17th, the police issued an update to the clothing that he was wearing at the time. Now it's listed as dark green pants, a green colored shirt, black hat with a Boston Red Sox B symbol. Previously, they would be said black. Mm-hmm. Now they've updated it to dark green and green.
Okay.
Police are asking anyone who may have witnessed a fight outside the Lone Star Bar that night that occurred sometime between 11:30 and 12:30 on January 1st to call the Dawson Creek RCMP. Now, Hossack, he wasn't even living in this town. He was living in Prince George when he went missing and only passing through. He was traveling from Prince George to Medicine Hat for a job that he was supposed to start that Friday, so January 5th. His phone was actually recovered, and it is currently in custody of RCMP, and his bank cards have not been used. Cole and his family have experienced tragedy already this year. Cole lost his young nephew in the spring. Then Cole and his girlfriend lost a child who died 8 days after they were born due to a heart defect. Here's a quote from his mom. "My only goal is to find him, however I may find him. I just need to find him and bring him home. He's got kids. He's got a son who just keeps asking where his dad is, and I just need to bring him home for him." So again, review that dash cam footage that you guys have and come across anything that you think is relevant. Call the RCMP at Dawson Creek at 250-784-3700. And Janelle, you and I are actually going to go participate in a search for him.
Yes, we are going to be meeting on March 16th at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Yep. In Dawson Creek, there is a search on Facebook. I'm sure we can share that on all our socials as well. Just if anybody else wants to come out, like, the more feet and eyes, the better.
I'm wondering about the search, and if you're, I mean, I don't know, we can't go on people's private property, so they'll obviously, you know, be giving us maps and specific locations to go. What do you think, Janelle? Do you think people are more likely to hide evidence close to their home to keep an eye on it, or try and discard it on public property? Because it can be found on public property, but they can't search your land without a warrant.
Like, I do think that people like to keep evidence close to themselves. If they have done something, they like to keep an eye on it. I can't tell you how many true crime episodes I've listened to where they've hidden the body on their property and they just don't think it's going to get caught, because when the police roll up, they're like, yeah, you can search my whole property except that shed.
Yeah. Don't look at that, like the tomato garden.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, yeah, you can search everything but my basement.
Yeah. The other missing male is David Daniel Domingo. He is wanted, actually, in relation to a disturbance of gunshots on Tuesday, August 29th in 2023 in Rolla, BC. So that's just outside Dawson Creek. He is described as Filipino, 5 feet 9 inches tall and weighing 240 pounds with brown eyes and short brown hair. I really couldn't find much more information on him, though, and he doesn't seem to have the same community pushing his case forward like the other three. So, everyone out there, if you don't feel comfortable calling in person, also know you can submit tips online to Crime Stoppers or over the phone. Their number is 1-800-222-4877.
Awesome. We also very recently got to connect with a lovely woman. Her name's Lindsay. She does a podcast called Disturbing the Peace podcast, and she did an amazing episode that covers Darylin, Renee, Cole, and David in detail, talks about all four of them and breaks down their cases. So if you want to hear a more detailed breakdown of those four current local missing peoples, please go listen to her episode. It's really well done. And she's just a lovely human. I loved chatting with her, and spread that pod love.
We should just start like a podcast cult.
That'd be fun.
All the podcasters, you know what? I'm doing a podcast cult.
Heard
it here first. Okay. Well, thanks everyone for listening. If you want to hear more from us or what we're doing, hop onto our Instagram at secretsofthenorth_podcast. That's where you'll find us and some clips that Greg likes to upload that are super shitty and we like them. Mm-hmm. Or if you want to try and stalk me on my own Instagram, it's not that exciting, but actually, that's pretty fun. It's E_G. And Janelle Poopoo, where can I find you?
I am Princess Lizard. A is the 4.
Slick. Love that. Okay. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And if you have any spooky stories, reach out and let us know, or any crimes in the region that you want us to cover. Hell, even if you have something that's stolen, if you have a lost and found item, let us know. We reunited somebody with their banjo before. I think we can do it again.
Yep, I believe in this.
Signing off from my butt to yours now.
Thanks for listening to this energeticcity.ca podcast. Energeticcity.ca is your only local and independent news in Northeast BC. To help keep us independent and to support this podcast, go to energeticcity.ca/join.